You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ecclesiastes 7. Ecclesiastes 7. One verse I want to start maybe with a text there, I guess, and we'll springboard off that. And I want to talk to you about beginnings and endings, I guess, or life's full of beginnings and endings. It's full of start and finishing. It's full of endeavors that you start out and then finally you finish them. Hallelujah. And it's just filled with that. It's filled with projects. It's filled with goals. It's filled with dreams. It's filled with things that you've got to do. And it never starts out perfect. Are you out there? I think the hardest part, this is often said, I worked construction for years, and one of the hardest parts of construction is just getting started. You know, just getting started. Every day it's that way. I mean, you got to get up and, you know, if you're in construction business, you got to get all your equipment out there and get your crew together and string out all your cords and, you know, and then you got to, of course, tear it all down and take it all, put it all back up before you leave so it'll be there tomorrow when you get there. But getting started is always an effort, no matter what it is. Getting started on anything, anything worthwhile takes effort to get started. And it's interesting the way that Solomon says this in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 8. He said, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. How true is that? But the end of the thing is why we begin the thing. Isn't that true? I mean, you know, Glenn, you got a lot of concrete you want to pour somewhere. Maybe you got this big job coming up. It might be 5-10 acres. I know y'all did the hypermart. How many acres was that when you did that? 10 acres. 10 acres of concrete. Listen, that's a lot of concrete. 10 acres of concrete. I can't imagine. My head won't even wrap around that, you know. But boy, what a project. But hey, what a endeavor to start, you know, and deal like that when they poured that last pour. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. You know, but anything worthwhile takes effort. It takes time. It takes some determination on your part and some discipline on your part and hard work on your part. Hey, you want a good marriage? Good marriages aren't just birth. They're not just born. They're worked out and worked on. You know, you want a good ministry. You want a good business. You want a good job, whatever the case may be. You're going to have to work at it. But if you'll work at it, the end that you have in mind, the goal that you're working for, the dream that you see coming, it'll make it worth the effort in the beginning. In fact, your motivation comes from looking at the end, seeing the end. You know, I read a book called Visioneering by Andy Stanley. Many of y'all are familiar with Charles Stanley. Charles Stanley's got a huge church in Atlanta, I think it's Atlanta, Georgia. Well, his son has a huge church also. He's a great minister, Andy Stanley, written several books. This one was called Visioneering, and he talked about how do you get motivated on a job, what gets you up in the morning, what keeps you going when things are not going right that day, why do you keep on and stay with it? And he said, vision does that, seeing the end does that. And he used the example of just taking sacks or bags and just filling them full of sand. He said, that would get pretty boring doing that after an hour or two or three or four. But he said, if you knew there was a flood coming, are you with me? And you're building a dike, you're building a bulwark here to stop the water from getting in, it will motivate you to keep filling those bags with sand. The vision is the motivation, see? And so a lot of things, life is tough. Come on now, life's not easy. It's not a bed of roses and, you know, it's not always peaches and cream. I wish it were, but it's not. Sometimes it's just tough. Sometimes you just got to plow through. Sometimes it's one mortar attack after another. But I know one thing, if we don't quit, we win. That's what the Bible says. And there are good days. There are times we're just great and everything, we're on top of it. But there's a lot of times we're just plowing through and working through and making this thing happen because we know if we do this, we'll get that result. If we'll plant this seed, we'll get this harvest. If we'll go out there and we'll pull those weeds out and we'll go out there and we'll water that thing when we don't want to water it, hello, we know that it will bring results, the end in mind. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and better is the patient in spirit, it says, than the proud in spirit. We can't be so proud and so arrogant that, you know, we live in a society that, I mean, we stand in front of a microwave and say, hurry up. Don't we? Come on. It's been 10 seconds. How long is it going to take? I mean, we just live in that kind of culture, in that kind of society. We want everything just like that. But nothing lasting or worthwhile, it happens overnight. Lasting, worthwhile things take time. You remember the three little pigs, don't you? Come on. Straw, wood, and brick. I mean, you know, it takes longer to lay brick than it does to put some sticks up. But when the wind comes and the rain, and you can mark it down, the wind's going to blow and the rain's going to come. But when it's all over, if your house is built on the rock of God's Word, it takes a lot of effort to get in the Word, to read the Word, go to church, pray, seek God, live holy, not to slap that person upside the head you want to slap upside the head, to pull back and pull your hand and pray. Are you with me? Are you out there? To not give in to the flesh, to love God and love people. It takes effort to do that. But when the wind's over and the rain's over and the flood's over and the shaking and the whole lot of shaking going on is over, you'll still be standing. And it'll be worth all the effort. Amen? It'll be worth the time to budget, the time to, to make the hard choices in life. Better is the end of a thing, the beginning thereof. And better is the patient in spirit than the proud in spirit. And we need to go into life that way. We need to go into our endeavors that way. We need to go into church that way, into marriage that way, or business that way, all of our relationships that way. We need to start out with an end in mind. Most people have no idea where they're going. And if you don't have any idea where you're going, any road will get you there. but you need to plan. You know, I think it was Plato said that the unexamined life is not worth living. But Aristotle, his student, said the unplanned life's not worth examining. And I think that's so true. If you don't have any plans, you don't have any goals, you're not trying to improve, you're not going anywhere in particular, well, it doesn't really matter what you do. But if you have goals and plans and dreams, and you should, because God gives old men dreams even. Young men visions and old men dreams. I'm still having visions, thank you. My brother calls me on my birthday, and he always asks if I had any good dreams lately, you know. see if I got into that old stage, you know. But God gives dreams, and God gives vision. And if you want to see them come to pass, then you got to make the tough choices, and you got to stay with the stuff, and you got to get up in the morning and do what you know to do. Amen? Get out of that bed. Hallelujah. And you got to have that attitude, you know, that without a vision, the people perish, the Scripture says. You have to have the attitude that this is going to accomplish something, that we're going somewhere with this. It may not look good right now, but I know this is going to reap benefits. I know if I plant this seed, I'm going to get this harvest. I know if I keep tilling this ground, it's going to finally bust up. And I know if I plant these seeds, they're finally going to grow. Amen? I know if I do, the principles work. I just need to work the principles. Doesn't really have a thing in the world to do the way I feel. It has to do what I commit to. What I believe and commit myself to, my vision, the end, the goal. Hallelujah. You know, William James was an American psychologist way back a couple hundred years ago. I guess it's been about that long. Not quite that long, excuse me, 100 years plus ago. Often called the father of pragmatism. It was just a type of psychology. But he said your belief at the beginning of a project determines its outcome. And that's so true. What you start out, your attitude starting this thing out, your belief, what is it that you're doing here? It will determine the outcome. Because if you don't have faith in what you're doing, and you don't believe it's going to pay off, you're going to quit eventually. You're going to give up. You're going to get discouraged. And you're going to change jobs. And next time we talk to you, you're going to change jobs again. Hello. You just go from one project, next project, one job, next one marriage to the next marriage. Hello. Until you finally get this thing right. Finally, and say, you know, hey, I'm going to make this work. And thank God. God's a God of a second chance or a third chance, a fourth chance, fifth chance. You may be on your third, fourth, fifth. I don't know. But don't be like Elizabeth Taylor that told her seventh husband, I won't be keeping you long. That's what ministers should say when they get up. I won't be keeping you long. But anyway, You need to have the attitude, I'm going to make this work. And wherever you are, God's a God of mercy and forgiveness, but we're going to make this happen. We're going to make this work. We're going to have a good marriage. We're going to commit to this. We're going to do what we need to do to make this work. I'm going to be patient here. I'm not going to be proud. I'm going to be patient, and I'm going to hang on. I know this is going to work. Amen? And that's going to determine the outcome. Knowing the ending will be better than the beginning is what keeps us motivated, gives us our incentive and our motivation, as it were. The incentive to start something is the vision, the end, the goal of what this is going to do for me. The reason I got saved is because I knew I'd go to heaven if I got saved. I knew I could turn my life. I was not satisfied with my life. I was not satisfied where I was going. I was empty. I was a shell of a man. And the drugs and the jails weren't really doing it for me. Are you with me? Don't know why, but they weren't. I mean, I was out there having fun and enjoying myself. Loved waking up, not knowing where I was. You know, that was a wonderful feeling. You know, but I decided to give it all up for Jesus. Are you out there? But when I came to Jesus, you know, what Jesus offered me, the carrot on the stick is not a chimera. It's not a false thing. It's something that God definitely offers. He offers you heaven. He offers you a new life. He offers you a better future. He offers you a better life in all respects. If you will start, if you will come to Him, if you'll call on Him, if you'll trust Him, if you'll do what He says, it'll come to pass. Are you with me? Some people say, well, that's kind of selfish of you. Well, hey, listen, I didn't want to go to hell. Yeah. Now, I've learned to love Jesus, but when I first got saved, it wasn't really about me loving Jesus. It was about me not wanting to go to hell. Amen. I realized I was going there. I realized there was no hope for me outside of Him. I realized He was making me an offer I couldn't refuse. And He didn't have cotton in His mouth when He said it. I'm making an offer you can't refuse, you know. My jokes need to get better. Y'all need to start laughing more. I don't know what it is, but one of the two has got to happen. But he did love me. He did overwhelmingly love me. And even when I was in sin, He loved me. He cared about me then. While I was yet sinner, Christ died for me. But ultimately, it was me accepting it because of the end, because I was going nowhere. You know, I remember during that time some of the people I hung around with at that time. I hung around guys that were a little older than I was because I was always into things that people my age weren't into. I know that sounds terrible. I got kicked out of high school when I was 16. I think I was 16. Was it 16? Yeah. 16 years old when I got kicked out of high school. I mean, they kicked me out of high school. Told me not to come back. Didn't want me on the grounds, you know. I left home right before I was 16. I was just fixing to turn 16. I think I was maybe a month before my birthday. I moved out of the house, just moved downtown. I worked, you know. I mean, I had some responsibility. I was just lost as a goose, you know, lost as a goose. Worked on jobs, actually sold drugs, did that, you know, just a real fine young man. And I had no future. And the people that I hung around with obviously were out of school, you know, because they were doing things I was doing. And as Bern and I got married at a young age later on, and I was down in Houston when God started dealing with me, and I was looking around. I was just thinking about some of the people I was hanging around with. They were 4 and 5 years older than I was, and I'm thinking, I'm already where they are. Where am I going to be in four when I'm their age? I keep going down this road. This is not getting any better. Are you with me? It was getting worse. I remember thinking like that. I remember looking at it, you know, sometimes you need to stop and take a little inventory here of your life. Where are you going? Where is this thing taking you that you're doing? And I was thinking, you know, I'm not really doing the best thing I could do for my life. And we had Chris at that time. He was just about a year old, I guess. And I was looking at Chris and thinking about what an example I was for him to follow. And at one time, you know, your pride kicks in. You know, you think you're a man. You know, you're tough. You take it. I finally realized I was going to hell, and I thought, I can take it. I'll go to hell. No, really. I'm being real honest with you. You know, I was thinking, I'm going to man up. If that's the way I'm living is going to take me there, then that's where I'm going. You ever talk to me like that? I've talked to people that way. Yeah, I know I'm going to hell. I'm thinking, my God, what is that? I mean, you know you're going. You don't have to. But I remember sitting at my table in my apartment. I was 19 years old. And Chris was over there. I don't know why I can't man up, but when I tell my testimony, I lose it every time. I guess because I keep saying that. But anyway. I was thinking along those lines. I remember distinctly, I remember the day I was looking at Chris. And he just, year and a half old, and I don't know, he probably had spaghetti on his head. You know, he used to get food all over himself when he'd eat. And I was thinking, yeah, if I go to hell, I go to hell. It's just the way it is. And I heard, I didn't know it was God then, but deep in my mind, my conscience, I guess, I heard this phrase, yeah. But what if he goes to hell? I thought, oh, I can't live with that. Can't live with that. See, God was dealing with my heart and dealing with me and thinking about the end of things. You live a certain way, you're going to pay the price. You do certain things. Your life is filled with roads, okay? When you start out on an action, you act on something, you say something, you're starting out on a road. You need to ask yourself, where is that road taking you? What is the end of that thing? Well, now, if you're on the right road, it may be tough, it may be hard, it may be some tough choices, but the right road, the end of a thing's better than the beginning thereof. Hallelujah. And I realized at that point, of course, I needed Jesus not just for me, I needed it for my son. I didn't need to be responsible for somebody going to hell besides me. It was bigger than me. I didn't want to go to hell, no. I finally realized I wanted to go to heaven and get saved, you know, and get right, and I was miserable. But then God brought the whole thing together. It was bigger than even me. And your life is always bigger than you. Man, my kids are all serving God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I know there's a lot of things that we could point to that God's blessed us with and honored us over the years, our faith. And I think about what a great church we have. And, you know, and God asked us to come here and minister and ask you to come. All of us make that happen. I think about all the accomplishments, missions that we started, people that I've led to the Lord personally, people that come down front and got saved. I can think of a lot of things that, you know, that I can say I've done some good. But, boy, when I think about my kids, I know I've done some good. I know I've done, Brent and I mean, we've done some good. We've done some good. It's been worth it our whole life to serve God. It's worth it for our children to go to heaven. It's worth it. It's worth it for me to go to heaven. It's worth it for my children to go to heaven. And everything else is icing on the cake. But I tell you, that's the cake right there. You know, the influence that you have over your family and your children. The end of this thing is so much better than the beginning. I remember those years when we first got saved. Woo! Man, it was tough. It was tough going. You know, I didn't know God from a hole in the ground. And I got saved, and I was just trying to live right and do right and changing friends. And, you know, because all my friends were druggies. I didn't have any friends that went to church. And so I had to learn new friends. I had to get new friends, and I had to talk different. I had to learn to talk different and walk different and act different. And, you know, it's tough. But looking back now, oh, my goodness, the end of this thing's a whole lot better than the beginning of it. It really, really is. And it's going to get better. It even gets better from here on out. Amen? So be patient. Things just take time. Anything worthwhile does take time. Amen? But you need to get in there and you need to stand and you need to fight. You need to fight for you. You need to fight for your family. You need to fight for those around you. You need to stand up for what is right. You need to stand up for God and live for God. No matter what anybody else does, you need to say like Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And not give up, not give in. Amen? Let everybody criticize. I don't care. People made fun of us. People make fun of you. People make fun of you no matter what you do. So why don't you do the right thing and let them make fun of you for a good reason? People call you crazy. I don't care what you do. They'll call you a nut. Well, I'd rather be a nut for Jesus than for anybody else. Are you out there? In the long run, it pays off. Besides that, when you're out there rowing the boat, you don't have time to rock it. Hey, I got a good quote here. This is really good. Teddy Roosevelt, President Teddy Roosevelt, bully. You remember Teddy Roosevelt? He said this. He says, it's not the critic who counts. It's not the man who points out how the strong man stumbled and where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who's actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood and strives valiantly, who errs and comes short again and again, who knows the great enthusiasms and the great devotions and spends himself in a worthy cause, who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. That's us, amen? We stand. We stand and we see the end, and the end in God is good. Contrary to what he said, we don't have to worry about defeat. The only way we can lose is quit. If we stay in here with it, we're going to win. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus talked about this way, talking about the end. We talked about a woman that was in travail, and he was telling his disciples in John the 16th chapter, he was telling them, I'm going to go away. You're going to sorrow, but your sorrow is going to be turned to joy. He said, just like a woman who's in travail, once the child is born, she forgets all the pain. Isn't that crazy? Well, unless you ask her if she's going to have another baby right there in the delivery room. Hey, guys. If you're just young couples, let me give you a little advice. Don't ask your wife if she wants to have another baby as soon as she has one, okay? Amen. Yeah, just wait a few weeks, okay? Oh, I want two more. that's when the fight begins. But anyway. But I mean, just the joy of the delivery just wipes out the pain. Wipes out the memory of it. Are you with me? Because the baby has been born. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, every struggle and every effort, all the opposition, all the pain, you let one person walk down here and get saved. Whew. You just see one person turn their life over to Jesus Christ. It makes it all worth it. I talked about my children. I look at my children and I'll tell you, it has been worth it all. I see them serving God. I see them, you know, Amanda had a post on Facebook last night. Everybody say Facebook. Okay. Just deal with it. We're living in a Facebook age. But she had a post on there, and I didn't even get on Facebook till late last night, so I didn't see it. I guess she put it on earlier. But the little girls, Addie, Adeline, and Mikhail been coughing and had a little bit of cough. And little Addie, she walks up and puts her finger in there and says, I have an idea. I'm going to pray for you to be healed. And she walks over to her and prays for her, the sweetest little prayer for healing. And it brought tears to my eyes when I read that. I thought, yeah, now we're talking grandkids. You go from children to grandchildren, and you leave a legacy. Hallelujah. Every one of us need to leave a legacy. Amen. And you are. You're an influence on people. You don't realize it. If Jesus tarries and you go on to be with the Lord, your life still is being lived. It's still influencing people. And the end is just extended, as it were. I just quoted Sam, Steve's dad. I think about Sam often, different things he used to say. You know, it's just his influence is still here. I mean, his life he lived is still here. He'd say, I love you. Not a thing in the world you can do about it. He just said that all the time. He just loved to hear him say that. And he'd smile real big when he'd say, well, I love you. He's kind of gruff, you know. I love you, not a thing in the world you can do about it. Hallelujah. Well, Psalms 138, turn there. We've got a few minutes left. Is this helping anybody? Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm sorry for being a blubber baby. It doesn't get better either, I can tell you that, when you get older. Psalms 138. If you want to know the truth why guys don't watch chick flicks, because they don't want to cry. No, that's the truth. That's why. You give me a movie with a horse and a gun, okay? I'm fine then. But don't let me. It's not that I don't like the chick flicks. It's just I can't handle it. You know, if something happens, I'll start crying. And she'll remember and say, you crying? No, I just got something in my eye. Got something in my eye over here. Men don't like to admit it, but you get a little softer. You get older like that. Man, I can't imagine another 10, 20 years what I'm going to be like. I'll just have to quit preaching because I'll just get up here and cry all the time, you know. Nah, Psalms 138. As long as I'm alive, I'll preach. That's right. Psalms 138. Notice what it says here. Verse 8. Oh, I love this. The Lord will perfect that which concerns you. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. His mercy, your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the work of your hands. Now think about that. How about this thing you're involved in? What about this thing you're doing for him or this marriage or this job or whatever the case may be, ministry, church, whatever? Well, better is the end of the thing than the beginning thereof, and better is the patient spirit than the proud in spirit. And remember this, the Lord will perfect that thing that concerns you. And God knows what concerns you. He knows his plans he's made for you. He knows your goals, your dreams, your visions. He knows what you're praying for. He knows what you're working toward. And you are not alone. Hallelujah. And God will perfect that thing. He'll mature that thing. He'll bring it to fruition. He will. Not just you. The Lord will perfect that thing which concerns you. You are not on your own. Man, I remind myself that all the time. Stick the fork in, I'm done if I'm all by myself here. This is not going to work. I'm not that smart. I'm just not that talented. Are you kidding? It takes the Holy Ghost to do anything God wants you to do. And the good news is he'll help you. He will. So, you know, that's the thing you need to say, especially when you're in the middle of the battle and the bullets are flying. And you feel the heat of the battle. Especially when you feel like you want to give up and throw the towel in because you don't feel like you can go another day. Especially when you feel like a shell of a man that you were or a shell of a woman that you were. I've been there many a time. I've had days where I felt like Elijah wanted to get behind a rock. Lord, just take me out right now. I'm tired. I'm tired of this. I can't handle another phone call. I can't handle another crisis. I mean, there are times that it happens. They just pile up on you. And you're human. I'm human. You cut me, I bleed. Okay? I got emotions like anybody else does. And I can only put that front up for so long. But we're all just kids on the inside, all right? Stay with me. But in every case, when I've prayed and sought God, he's come through for me. And I realized I never was alone. It never was up to me all by myself. Oh, I have to choose, but he'll help me. Praise God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Moses, it says, endured as seeing him who is invisible. He had his eyes on God, see? So the Lord will perfect that thing which concerns me. The Lord will perfect this church. The Lord will perfect this ministry. The Lord will perfect me as a pastor. The Lord will perfect me. He'll perfect you. Wow, how do you get up? I think of Mo. How do you get up and get ready to pray for 100 people in about 3 hours? And most of them the first hour. How are you going to know what to say? How are you going to know? Don't you know I've gone through some stuff and now you want me to pray for you? Don't you think Mo doesn't think it? He's human like anybody else. Don't want to get out of bed that morning and go down there and do that. But the Lord will perfect that thing which concerns. The Lord has called Mo to do that. The Lord anoints Mo. The Lord gives him wisdom. The Lord moves on him and speaks to him. And you get one person turn their life over to God. You get one person get saved and full of the Holy Ghost. You get one person get healed. One person walk out with a smile on their face, and it's worth it all. Better is the end of the thing than the beginning thereof. God, I just don't know how I'm going to do this. Oh, you're going to do it all right because God's going to help you do it. He's going to help you. He will perfect that thing which concerns you. Hallelujah night again? 16 years? Can we just not do it 1 year? No, I think the town would probably burn our church down if we didn't. We've created the monster. Now we got to feed it. No, it's not a monster. It's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Well, see, we just got to get that confidence going again. Amen? In God, remember that we are his workmanship. I didn't make myself, and I didn't call myself, and I didn't ask myself to do this. God did. And I didn't make the rules on marriage. I didn't make the rules on holy living. God did. I didn't make the rules on how I should act and what I should do and be responsible and so all those things. God made those rules. But see, Ephesians 2:10 says we are his workmanship. So I'm the work of God. I am. You are. God didn't make junk. He made you. He made me. And he made you to function. And he made you to work. And he made you to, you do work. You do. It does work. This works. The word works. You'll work it. God's in you. God in you. And what God's put in you can get out of you what God's put in you. God has stuff inside of you that he can put, only he can pull out of you. But if you'll commit, if you'll be confident in this, that the Lord will perfect that which concerns you. And if you'll be patient and not proud, have some humility, trust God, lean on God, call on God, then the end of the thing will be better than the beginning. Amen? And he'll perfect that thing which concerns you. His mercy is forever. Where you're imperfect, where you sin and you have to repent, well, his mercy is forever. God's merciful with us. He doesn't throw us out. He doesn't fire people and hire others. You got a permanent job with God. You really do. It's secure. He's not just going to fire you. You just keep coming back. He'll help you. He'll empower you. Amen? And he'll perfect that thing which concerns you. We are his workmanship, Ephesians 2:10 says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. But we were made to love. We were made to forgive. We're made to live holy in Christ Jesus. And if we'll yield to him, we can do it. He'll perfect that thing which concerns us. It will get better. You can do it. You always bring out that word workmanship is poema in the Greek. P-O-E-M-A. We get the word poem from that. And the word works, like Shakespeare's works, his writings, his poems. We are God's writings. We are God's poetry. In fact, without us, there is no rhyme in the world. There's no rhyme to the reason. But you and I are pure poetry. When we're obeying God and allowing God to work through our lives, amen? We are just pure poetry. We put rhyme in life. We put the reason in life, hallelujah. Put meaning in life, praise the Lord. Philippians 1. That was Psalms 138, verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the work of your own hands. Now think about it. Forsake not the work of your own hands. I am the work of his hands, and he will not forsake me, amen? And he's going to perfect the thing that concerns me. Philippians 1. Well, these are good scriptures, I tell you. In fact, you ought to be writing this down. These are very encouraging scriptures to stay with the stuff, keep believing, keep standing, keep doing what's right, because it is right. And the end will always be good. Hallelujah. Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing. I love this. Paul's writing here, and he's confident of this thing. Whatever else he's not confident of, he's confident of this. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, till Jesus comes. How many of you, God started a work in you? Oh, hallelujah. I love that. Just that alone tells me I'm not finished. He started a work in me. He's working on me. Is he working on you? Now, don't beat yourself over the head because you sin. Just repent and go on and go forward, you know. Remember this, God started a work in you. He's going to finish that work. You keep coming to him. You keep calling on him. He's going to help you. Hey, it's not over. I think about even, I talk about my kids. There have been times when they didn't look so good. I mean, those girls, they're always pretty. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about that. They weren't acting pretty, you know. That's what I'm trying to say. But we just kept believing God and kept standing on the word, amen. And we knew that we were confident that God, who had begun a good work in us, would finish it. Amen. And we didn't let go. We kept believing and we kept standing. Acts 16:31 says he'll make a way for you and your whole household to be saved. And we stood on that and put our faith in that. I guess more than any other thing, we've believed for that more than anything, is that our family would serve God and everybody they hook up with. Period. Just the way it is. I remember when our girls, you know, were dating their guys. Of course, you know, thank God for First Baptist, I wouldn't have any son-in-laws. But or First Baptist. But anyway, when they were, that's not true, but I mean, they did pick up some, and they were saved, and I had requirements. You know, my girls, they had to date somebody that was saved. They had to be serving God. That was just it. And You say, well, that's kind of hard. Well, that's the way it was. And if they didn't like it, you know, there's other places to live. But in my, if they're going to live in my house, that's the way it's going to be. Are you with me? And I remember talking to the son-in-laws and telling them, I told them they had to get full of the Holy Ghost before they could marry him too. I did. I told them, I said, you know, I know you love Jesus. You're born again. You come to church. But you need to get baptized with the Holy Ghost before you can marry my daughter. And I'm performing the wedding. So you're going to have to be. You know, going to have to comply with this. And they did. I think Ryan held out the last. I think Ryan might have been the last 2 weeks or so. I don't know. It was right before I said, you're right, it's getting close to that time. We're glad to get this. So he did. He got full of the Holy Ghost. But hallelujah. Woo. Well, God's going to perfect the work that concerns us. Amen. That's something Brent and I believed and stood for as our children. And you may have children not serving God. But don't give up. You keep believing. Don't stop now. Come on. Are you going to quit because they're not serving God right now? Come on, you put too much into this thing. Come on. You put too much faith in it. You've lived God too long. You prayed too many prayers to stop now. Don't you stop right now. It may be just right around the corner. Amen? Just trust God. He's going to perfect that thing which concerns you. And he that's begun a good work in you will perform it. He will. You have his word on. This is not my word. This is his word. And he's saying he'll do it. So whatever your endeavor is, if it's in line with the word, amen, in line with what God says, then you just hang in there and you believe God and don't you quit and don't you give up. Don't you let the devil tell you to stop. That's the only way you could lose. You know why our key to success here at the church, often talk about it, 31 years we've been here. Mentioned earlier all the things that have gone on here and all the things that we have and all the missions we support and outreaches that we have and so on and so forth. You know, people often wonder, well, what do you attribute that to? What do you think is your biggest key to success? I mean, they're wanting some five-step program or 20-step or 7 steps or some just genius revelation. But I'll tell you what it is. Now, obviously, we were trusting God. We believe God. That's a given. We did not quit. Period. We just did not quit. We just kept doing what we knew was right. We kept doing it. We did it when we didn't feel like it. We did it when it didn't look like it was working because we knew it was going to work because God said it was going to work. We did it in bad years. We did it in good years. We did it in moderate years. We just kept doing it. We didn't quit. And you cannot do anything for 30 years without getting good at it. You can't. You can't work on a marriage for 10 years and not get good at it. 15 years and 20 years and 30 years and 40 years. You can't do anything that long without getting good at it. If you're giving it your best shot, if you're trying. Hello. And you'll have tough times, but hey, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Hallelujah. And one day you'll look back and you'll look like a dream. You're living a dream. And you are. You're living your dream. As Brother Osteen used to always say, my pastor John Osteen. He says, great it is to dream a dream when you stand in youth by the starry stream. But a greater thing is to fight life through and say in the end, the dream is true. And that's what God wants to do for you. He wants your dreams to come true. What you got to do is fight life through. Amen? And don't give up and don't quit.